Hi, my name is Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
All right. Well, happy Halloween, everyone. Thank you for anyone joining us live that are spending your precious minutes of your life here. And we have our amazing panel. We're missing one. We're missing Brooke. Other than that, we have like our full panel back again for the first time in a while. We miss you, Brooke. So what we're going to do today to get going is each panelist is going to go around and introduce themselves. And then, you know, if you want to reveal your alter ego or who you are in costume, whether it's visible to others or not, you can tell us who you are in the fun of Halloween spirit for today. And then after that, each panelist is going to share a spooky story or a nightmare from within the field, within their experience. But don't worry, they're not going to leave you hanging on a spooky note. They'll give you a quick anecdote on like how maybe you could do it. Their recommendation of how you can do it differently, or, you know, don't make the same mistake I did, or it's okay if you did, I'm here to hold your hand kind of thing. And then in true fashion of our panel, we'll have conversation and chat amongst each other. So let's see. I can't see the screen. Oh, there we go. So let's just start with Derek first, and then we'll go around the circle and to introduce, and then we'll come back to Derek to start your spooky story.
Well, I don't have like my full costume, but my staff really wanted me to be the Chris Farley lunch lady, you know, from like.
Oh, that's awesome! Nice.
So I have an apron and a ladle and all that, and you know, like the slap Big Joe, slap that whole thing from Chris Farley. So I'm that. I'm forever stuck in the '90s. I'll never leave the '90s. But anyway, my name is Derek Tony. I run a small ABA clinic up in Washington, in Tacoma, the Tacoma area. We've been doing this for about 6 years, but super small companies, about me and about 10 other people. So really, really small. We're just always fighting the storms, it feels like, but we do well, and I love our job. So we're all really happy out here. That's all I got. Did you want me to tell a story?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and let everyone introduce ourselves, and then we'll head back to you. So, Jennifer, maybe you'll go next.
Sure. My name is Jennifer Helton. I own a small center-based ABA company in Grapevine, Texas. I didn't really think this was too far of a fetch of a outfit. This is the stressed, overworked, tired, you know, panicking business owner. This is how I feel at the end of every day. Sometimes my Monday mornings, I'm not going to lie.
Awesome. Thank you. Mallory.
I'm Mallory Stinger. I have a home-based practice in Washington as well. And my counterpart would be a vampire boss. I am the sunshiny, loving employee who loves daylight and struggling, a little bit with work-life balance always.
Awesome. Robin.
Have a practice in the Atlanta area. We have a center in Roswell, and we do in-home and in-school and center-based therapy. We've been in practice for 19 years now, coming up on 20. Exciting. I'm a cat. I just took some of my daughter's ears from her headband stash today and threw on a leopard shirt. I did have like what I thought was a cool idea, but it didn't come to fruition, was like dressing like a bee and then being a BCBDA. I thought that was kind of funny.
I don't like it.
But it didn't happen. I couldn't find the costume in time, so I'm a cat.
Okay. Welcome to cat. Welcome. It reminds me of back in the COVID days. Remember that one attorney was in that like virtual court session and he had the cat filter on and he couldn't turn it on.
That was awesome.
Oh, good old days. All right. So, Derek, why don't you start us off with your spooky story?
Thing is incredibly itchy. Rough day today. So I thought about this for a little bit, and it didn't take me too long to recognize what my nightmare as a business owner is, because we're just now getting out of it. So like I said before, we have a really small company. It's about me and 10 other employees, BCBAs and RBTs. And we have a really close-knit group. And we've been really fortunate to have super low turnover, really happy group. You know, like, things go pretty well compared to a lot of the stories that I hear. But then a couple months ago, practically overnight, about half my staff had to put in their notice to leave. And all for different reasons that really had nothing to do with the job. So, you know, someone got pregnant, someone's spouse got a job across the country, someone had an internship start that took all of their time, someone moved, had moved too far out of our area because of their spouse's job, childcare fell through with another person, and within like a 1 week period, we had half the staff that we had before. So I think that that was obviously pretty scary, and there's a lot that comes with that, is I think that we always focus so much on how to prevent burnout in your employees and like how to be a supportive manager and like how to be really good to your employees to maintain retention. We never really talk about the fact that you still can't escape life. If you will do all of these things and you're an incredible, I'm not saying I am, but for those who are, who treat their employees very well, who you know, go the extra mile every single day and they do everything they can to make this a great place to work, you can't prevent the fact that someone's husband got a job somewhere or someone's wife has to move or someone's family member falls deathly ill. We can't escape those things. And I feel like I felt really unprepared for a situation like that, very unprepared. And so I think that what I took away from that is that I always have to be overstaffed. And even if everyone is great, everyone is happy, no one's complaining, you know, like, if it's a smooth work environment, you're really still not safe. And as business owners, you never really are. And I think that we, A, have to accept that. We can get very, very comfortable. We can see smiling faces every day and feel like, you know, we're doing a good job and we're just, we have security. You don't. You really, really don't. And again, it could have nothing to do with you. So the key takeaway that I had was to always be overstaffed. And of course, the issue with being overstaffed is that people are not just going to maintain their employment without getting paid, right? So you can't just have people on staff waiting around to work. So the hard truth that I've had to come to swallow is that we are going to have much greater non-billable activities and responsibilities that RBTs, it's everyone, can do so that in the event that we have someone who has to leave due to childcare or school, that we then have that room in their schedule that they can then take on the caseload from another therapist who might have to leave. So temporarily, that also requires that we have, you know, those types of responsibilities set up, that there are systems to make sure that they're actually getting done. If we're paying all this non-billable time, we need to make sure that we actually have checks and balances with that time, because we can't just be super frivolous with non-billable stuff. So it's a part of, I think, running an ABA company that a lot of us don't pay a lot of attention to is the non-billable portion. I don't think that you can, unless you're one of those big Walmart brand companies, I don't think that you can afford to just do direct therapy. I think focusing on only doing direct therapy, it's great for your bottom line. It's great for your revenue. It's really bad when life hits, because now we have all these clients that we can't help. And some of these I've been with for years. So what I would suggest to new business owners is to really focus and plan on that non-billable portion of your therapist's job. You're going to need to have it. That's going to give you some wiggle room when life inevitably happens to your staff. That's my scary story and the resolution.
Thank you for sharing. Oh, I feel that so much. We went through similar phases and came up with similar ways to work around it, but no matter how you look, it's hard.
Yeah, when we had two BCBAs, that was something that kept me up at night, literally. It was like, what if we lose one of our BCBAs? What do we do, right? Like that, yeah. So, yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. Yeah. All right, let's keep the storytelling going. Jennifer.
Derek took mine. No, I'm just kidding. When we were going through that, I was thinking, well, what doesn't keep me up at night? I think one thing I do want to say about Derek's situation is we had something similar, and it was for exactly the same thing. Life happens, and it just happens. But one thing it did do for us is show the stagnancy we had become as well. Like, we had become stagnant as a company, I think, because we had just kind of, it was just the status quo. And so something like that really rocked the boat and really did make us have to take a step back to look at our systems and make sure that we are prepared, because everybody left on wonderful terms. I mean, I still talk to the people, but it was all life. Somebody moved to a different state. Somebody was, he'd been with me for a long time and I knew this wasn't his forever job, but he got a job offer sooner than we knew he was going to, you know, just whatever. But I think the other thing that truly keeps me up at night is, and I'm still working on how to fix this, but the being able to hit payroll, your cash flow, you know, it's really sickening to see the amounts of accounts receivables that you have that you're waiting on, you know, from the insurance companies. One thing, though, that I did see that really was causing a lot of problems was making sure our authorizations were in advance. So we would tend, in the past, we would wait till the auth was up. And so, you know, maybe submit the day of the final auth. And this was all stuff brand new in the beginning. As time has gone, I've realized and we've learned to submit those authorizations 2 to 3 weeks in advance, so that 15-day that they like to take doesn't cause a delay in pay or delay for you to turn that authorization request over to approved. That does help with your bottom line, because you're not waiting till the last minute to get an auth and then waiting 15 days or 30 days, however long the insurance company waits sometimes. So now you're out 60 days of pay by the time you... So really making sure that you're staying on top of your authorizations in a timely manner, that's really holding the insurance companies accountable. And we used to bill weekly, which I don't know why I thought that was great, but we moved to a daily billing, and that really made a big difference in our cash flow and the payouts, the claims being paid quicker, so that the payroll, I'm not stressing about payroll, I'm not stressing about rent, I'm not stressing about things like that. I'm not going to say there aren't times, you know, I mean, we all notice trends. There's times when payouts seem to slow down. And so you have to really be mindful of that time and that where you are in that cycle and make sure that you're squirreling away just enough, you know, continually squirreling away money in your savings so that you do have the money to cover payroll. I know a lot of places will recommend a line of credit or, you know, something to fall back on. I do have a line of credit, but I've chosen to not go that route. I do more on trying to make sure that I'm staying fiscally healthy where I'm not have a lot of liability. That's very hard to do, and you have to be very, very disciplined with it. And you have to really, really stay on top of your authorizations. You have to really stay on top of your billing. You have to really stay on top of following through with the claims. And it's a full-time job, but it's definitely something that will help your stress level, knowing that there's nothing. And here's one other thing I will always say, and I say this to my BCBAs all the time, document everything. When you talk to an insurance provider, you document who you've talked to, the time you talked to them, the reference number, what you talked. That has saved us more times in authorizations and denials by making sure we've documented everything that we did when we were coming into an auth, if they were denying something, if they were... So I think the key takeaways on that for me are notice your cycle, make sure you're putting money back, make sure you're documenting everything you do when you're talking to the insurance companies, because if they have the documentation, they can't fight you, and go to daily billing, but stay on top of that.
Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer. All really good things. Daily billing. Wow. Good for you. Yeah, good for you. That's That sounds like a nightmare in its own self, but
it has made the biggest difference. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, I can't believe what a difference that has made.
I guess I never even thought about daily. I mean, I've always done weekly, which I felt like I was a different breed, because I also had a lot of agencies that like, oh, we do it monthly. And I'm like, how do you do it monthly? That's insane. Like, there's no way I could do that, you know? So I do weekly, but I never even thought about daily, but that's awesome. Definitely something to take away.
Well, no, seriously. Like, I did weekly for forever because I was like, oh, we'll just do weekly. And every 30 days you should be getting 15 to 30, whatever you're, but I was getting more of a trickle effect than when I do it daily. So when I'm doing it daily, I'm getting much bigger payouts during the week, which is, I don't know why, but...
That's wild.
It's, maybe it's that's just wild. Like, because it's one entry, and they're like, oh, that's not a big deal. We'll process that today or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, the response effort's not as high. I don't know.
Yeah, totally. I was just about to say the same. Like, you know, I was like, okay, let's look at this behaviorally, right?
Yeah, but that's how I was looking at behaviorally on the payouts, too. It's cyclical. Yeah. Like, we're coming into a slow season now because it's the holidays. Everybody's going to be taking off. January and February, always slow. Yeah. You know, May, April, June picks up. Then we slow down again. Then we pick up. And it's like, I think it's by quarter, too. Yeah. Oh, it's the end of the quarter. We need to hold on to our cash, and then beginning of the next quarter, oh, we're going to dump it all into everybody's account. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't figured out their algorithm yet, but I have figured out kind of the time. So
right. Wow.
And then I guess with the new year, you also have to worry about deductibles, right, too. So
they don't have to pay
on anything there for a while. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing, Jennifer. Well, why don't we hear from Mallory next? Give us your nightmare scenario.
Yeah. This is only one of the things that keeps me up at night, of course, like pretty much everything that both Derek and Jen have said that keep me up at night too. But unfortunately, I had two kind of incidents more recently with recredentialing that came up, and recredentialing, I just didn't think it was going to be that much of a headache, but it ended up being a nightmare, truly a nightmare. And so one of the first issues was that I had to change my mailing address, and changing your mailing address is like no other task that I have ever taken on before. I was like, they have got to create something with insurance companies where it's like, you know, you request an address change with the post office and it can last for 18 months or something like that. You can pay extra so it lasts for 18 months. Well, they don't have any of that. And so, you know, I had somebody who had done my credentialing originally. And even my first recredential did not seem to be an issue much, but this last recredential was a nightmare because things were not being sent to the correct address. They were being returned, even though I had thought I had, you know, changed my address and sent new W-9s to every single insurance company. I thought everything was done, but it apparently was not. And so as I, you know, submitted claims for two different insurances, it took 30 days then to get it back saying, basically, you no longer have a contract with, you know, our insurance. And so I'm like freaking out because, hey, I can't serve these clients. And so luckily both of them, with a lot of fighting and back and forth, that they were able to support me a little bit. And it was a very quick 30-day turnaround, which still was a month. It was a month, right? And really, I didn't think that that was fair, that the clients were missing out on services because of something, you know, that was clerical on my end. And so I ate the cost for a month, and it was rough. It was really difficult, but of course it made me feel a little bit better that I was able to do that. But the takeaway, so I'm sure you have somebody who's doing this eventually, make sure that if you do have to change your address as a business owner and a new business owner, that you're able to do it and get confirmation that it's, you know, it's been done. The other thing, though, is since COVID, and I'm sure all of you guys have kind of went through this too, getting a hold of someone on the phone is brutal. Like, a lot of insurances only allow emails now with provider, you know, services, and that's really hard. It's like back and forth, you know. So like Jen said, document everything. Get a reference number for every single call and the name of the person for every single call you do. And then, stay on top of the credentialing and recredentialing. I tried my very best, but two things slipped through the cracks. But if you could have somebody that was monitoring that better than I thought I was, that would be really great. So it kept me up at night. It's still keeping me up at night because I'm worried that other ones I have missed, right? But I haven't. We've confirmed with all of them, but it still like haunts me, truly.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for sharing. I know it doesn't always fix the situation, but we learned when we moved, we just moved offices across town, right? Like,
well, even when we had like all in home and we were in our house and then we moved to the clinic, we moved the billing address to the clinic and then we had to switch it because we moved to a different clinic. And like, even after 5 years, they would still sometimes mail us at home, right?
Just and at like, least we still live there. Yeah, so we can get at it least we still live there. Like, yes. Why is this coming here? Yeah. But what we decided to do was get a PO box, and so
for billing at least
for billing. Yeah. Now that really didn't help us that much because we didn't have it that much for very long before we ended up closing it and deciding to close and move out of country anyways. But that's something that we, you know, suggest sometimes is like get a PO box, especially like for like maybe where your headquarters are, especially if you're maybe thinking about going to different states or different multiple clinics
or something. Even in the same state,
Doesn't always work, but because sometimes you're going to move out of state or so, I don't know, but that could possibly help.
Yeah.
All right, Robin, let's hear your spooky story.
Yeah, I've got so many in my head. I was just trying to go.
I know, right?
19 years. I was like, I'm trying to like, what do I want to pick? I mean, it might be a little all over the place, but like, I know like to tack on to Derek's staffing thing, like we definitely have, you know, cycles where people will, you know, they'll kind of run through and we might lose someone because, yeah, like you said, they have a baby or there we have someone now that's moving for their spouse's job. And then we had another one that left because they're going to a new master's program, decided they're not going to do a BCBA program anymore. And, you know, or you just have like people that quit because they don't like the job because sometimes like, you know, especially new hire staff, they get in thinking it's going to be easy. And some days are hard. I mean, and we have like worked really hard to kind of have a better, you know, positive work environment, you know, and I think that's been really helpful overall. I've gotten good feedback from that, but people will still quit, you know? And I think one of the big struggles we had not too long ago was we had someone that left that started her own company. Great for her. But then she started poaching our current staff, some of which had been with me for over a decade. So, I mean, it sucked. It was not fun. I saw the pattern, and then I did my own research and determined that that was kind of what was going on. And then, yes, in fact, it was what's going on, because I think some of our staff here had been continuing to get approached to come work for her. And they told someone in the office who then eventually got back to me. So for the time being, I've squashed it, but it was a learning curve and it was a bummer. And I don't necessarily think that some of them would have left if the opportunity hadn't been presented the way it was. So I mean, that was just kind of disappointing. I mean, it happens, like people can leave and that it happens, but I hate it when they are kind of being sneaky and, you know, trying to steal your top staff, like the people that had been had over a decade of experience, had worked with me for many, many years. I think that just hurt. I think it doesn't normally hurt, but it hurt, you know? So I tried not to take it personally, but I think it was, you know, they probably had their own reasons, but you know, I had to get lawyers involved, which is not my favorite thing to do. So that was that. I think, you know, as far as like staffing, we do try and overstaff when possible. I will say too, we had three people pass the BCBA exam in the same month. And they had been with us for quite a while. And I had not fully financially been on board with thinking that they were all going to pass the first time, because that doesn't always happen, right? But they did. They all passed their first time, which was great because they've been through a mentorship program, which that's kind of the point, right? So I'm glad they passed. And so I hired them all first full-time day of, and they all accepted, which was awesome. But it was a ginormous financial hit that we're still recovering, paying full-time salaries, while we were going through the process of credentialing, and that takes months. And then they're just doing non-billable stuff, the whole time, which they were doing things that were helpful. I mean, some of them were doing things like marketing and make cold calling and sending brochures and helping with ads and, you know, connecting with doctors to try and get us some referrals to help build their caseload, since it happened so fast. Honestly, and that they're all full now, which is great, and they're doing wonderful. But it, you know, it was a pretty painful financial thing that we're still, you know, trying to get back in the green from. But I don't regret it. I think they've been wonderful to have, and it's great to have great BCBAs. And I think I would have regretted if I didn't offer them all the job. And I'm thankful that they all accepted. I think that was wonderful and made me happy. We're currently needing another BCBA, if anybody's looking. But, you know, it's one of those things because BCBAs are the most expensive part of our organization.
Right.
So, you know, that's a thing. And unrelated but related, this year I've been going through a divorce, which has been the most emotionally draining, financially draining thing I've ever had to deal with. It's not my favorite thing. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but I'm still not done. But I would say that it's complicated. It's made things complicated because my spouse worked with me for a period of time. So it made things messy with divorcing him. So, you know, I think it helps to have some safeholds in place to have a better idea of your financials of the business, to have full access of things, to be able to do all of the tasks that your spouse did. So one thing that I did do was, maybe TMI, but before filing, I did get kind of like a hit list of all the things that he did in the organization and did my best to get access to those things, to learn how to do those things, to preemptively line people up. So, you know, the week he was no longer with my organization and I filed for a divorce, it worked out that I had lined up a bookkeeper who fixed the billing for the last few years. I lined up a new payroll person, and I hired an HR person. And, you know, the rest of the tasks were kind of split up between myself and the admin staff. So, I mean, and I honestly will say, I think that the company is running better than it ever has, as far as, like, you know, things being done really well. We have all these checks and balances. We have a really great HR person who now, like, I think the way that she does things is just far superior than what we've even done before. And I've always wanted an HR person, but I haven't had one. But I think having the opportunity to have one, I think, or at least have someone that you have available to you that you can ask questions to, I think that's helpful rather than always relying on like an expensive employment attorney, which we've previously done. Yeah. So I think that's helpful. And I think she's helped with a number of things. And now she's actually taken over payroll, so I don't have that extra cost too. But, you know, I think it's hard, you know, especially if you decide to go into business with your spouse, which isn't what happened in my case. It's still my sole company. However, it can get messy. You know, it can get messy, and it can get messy in a divorce. And, you know, talk to an employment attorney, talk to a divorce attorney if you need to proactively, and see what you would be looking at as far as the hits related to that and how that can impact you. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a learning experience for me too. But, you know, I think we're doing well. I think the business is running. We're still trying to get back on our feet financially, I think, from, you know, this plus other things. But I'm optimistic. I think everyone seems happy, and the staff seem really enjoying our new culture and changes there. So I think overall it's going to be a very positive change, but it's just a hard pill to swallow when you have to go through it, you know. So.
Yeah, change is hard. Mm-hmm. Change is hard, especially when there's such emotional, like, heaviness, you know, on your end, mm-hmm. right? And you're the one keeping yeah. everything all together. So I'm happy to hear that things are going really well. Yeah. Well, Stephen, like, we're always telling people, like, if you're, whether you're best friends or even siblings or spouses, like, if you have that, like, partnership, especially if you have that, like, relationship of other sorts, like, you got to go on with an agreement to begin with.
Who can spend the money? And who can fire, right? Like, these are critical things. And when everything's going well, it doesn't matter. It's in times like when it's super stressful and you're in disagreement for whatever reason that that's when you need those agreements, right?
Well, I'm going to open it up for discussion at this point. If anyone has anything they want to, you know, chat about what the other person said, or go for it, Derek.
I have learned, I know I only have a few more minutes, but one thing I did want to bring up because for me, with all that storm that we've gone through, and I'm sure you all can absolutely relate to this, anyone listening, I'm sure you can relate to this, is hiring. And I mean, even Stephen with that really excellent opening bit, like hiring new people. This is what I will say that I've learned about hiring a lot, because I've had to hire a lot kind of quickly, is number one is that training is one of the most critical parts of your business. We overlook it. We will get lucky. We will get some people that are just kind of inherently great. But training is as important as payroll. It is as important as insurance contracts. It is one of the most critical parts of a business. And I think that all of us get a little blindsided by that, assuming more competence than maybe is there. The next thing is on applicants. I think that all of us as a field, I feel like there was an era in ABA where we were growing faster than we really could handle. And as a result, a lot of companies were hiring anyone with a heartbeat. And I think maybe many companies are still doing this. And I don't think that they realize how damaging this is, because I have interviewed so many people with 5, 6, 10 years of experience in ABA who have never done ABA, no, especially if they're coming from a large company. And one of the things that I have learned to be a cold, hard truth is that no experience in this field is far better than experience with a large company. It is amazing. They will come in and request extremely high pay rates and then have no idea how to interact with a kid, what a reinforcer is, what a discrete trial is, what prompting is, with 10 years of experience. So with hiring, you know, I mentioned being overstaffed. I will also say training, it again needs way more attention than I think that we typically give it. Training particularly to your brand of ABA, how you do it. That's the part where, like, we can't really rely on generic white book types of approaches to training, because in the day-to-day, it's going to be how you know, how Robin runs it or how Mallory or Jennifer runs it. And you have to have a good system for that. And with applicants, again, be picky. Even if you're desperate, still be very, very picky and do not be fooled by someone's experience. Again, all my best therapists had no experience in ABA. The worst employees had a ton of experience at CAR. Or I don't want to say any more names, but at those companies where I'm like, yikes. So when I see those on resumes, you're saving yourself a lot of headaches and you might be helping the field by being very picky and very cautious of large companies and being a bit more open-minded to a lack of experience, because they really can be amazing applicants.
I think
that's all I'm going to say.
I think to that point, Derek, we did. That's exactly. I would see resumes and I'm like, oh, this company. And I'm like, I mean, all they're saving me is you have to go through the RBT program, exactly. Right? That's all that's saving me, right?
Yeah.
But what we've started doing, we implemented this about a year ago, because we were having the same issue, is we started taking our skill shapers that we work with all of our staff with. And if they came in with experience and they have, like, you know, whatever, they're already in RBT, they have to do a working interview. So they do the panel interview with us, and then they have to do an hour of a working interview where one of our BCBAs is literally going through this task list that we put together, like what we want them to see or what they should at the very least be able to do if they're an RBT: prompting, reinforcement, some maybe data collection, you know, chaining, anything like that. And then we make the determination, and we build their training packet if they get if a job gets extended to them, we build their training around how they scored on that. And we share the results with them. That also helps us with compensation, because like you said, they want to come in and ask for this exorbitant amount of money. And I'm like, show me you can do this first, you know?
Yeah.
And when we show them things, they're kind of like, and I'm like, listen, if it's money that you want, I can't pay you that. And I won't pay you that. And I understand you need to maybe go somewhere else. I totally get that. But if you're going to come work here, this is where we're at, and this is where we're going to start you. Now, we're going to give you the path to grow, but you're going to prove it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I am 100% on board with that. Do not hire even if you're stressed and panicked.
No.
Because it will cost you more time, money, and energy and damage to your current team, to the kids, if you are hiring out of panicness and you just take everybody with a heartbeat that says they're an RBT or have experience.
Yeah, and the general tone, you know, like Indeed is a great tool. Indeed can be really, really great, but it does kind of turn into a Tinder for employers, right? Where all people are looking at is, how tall are you? I'm sorry, you don't want to base a marriage on someone's height or their hair color. You don't want to base your job where you're going to be going 40 hours a week based on an hourly rate or a benefits package. I'm sorry, the people who are offering really high rates and benefits package, there's typically a reason that they're having to compensate for. And small companies that really focus on quality, we don't have those resources, but we also don't need to, because the job is not terrible like it might be elsewhere. And so, but you have to realize when you're dealing with like Indeed or Glassdoor, these people are swiping right or left. Are you 6 foot or not? Because that's what's going to give me the best future of my life, you know, is the height of someone. And I try to explain to people, hourly rate is one of the least important details of a job. I know it matters, but I'm sorry, if you're going to work every day and you're making 50 cents more an hour and you're getting chairs bashed over your head and you're alone, I don't think anyone cares about that extra $12 a month that they might be making there. And so when you're dealing with applicants, know that they're going through this with a very Tinder-esque viewpoint. And you kind of, in your interviews, have to break that down a little bit and educate them a little bit on just the general job market. So I could talk about this forever. I'm sure we all can, because it's a huge issue.
I think it's really hard because
what we do offer as like a smaller business and a family-owned business, a BCBA-owned business, versus like maybe in contrast to where they came from. And we can ask them maybe, you know, what their pros and cons of their last position if they were an RBT. And some will say they weren't supported, or some will say that their BCBA was never there physically in person, or, you know, all sorts of things. Or they weren't, or they just weren't fully trained. I mean, we have now got like someone that handles all the clinical staff training. So she will, you know, she'll do a preemptive competency to assess where the new potential new hire is at. And then we can decide if we're going to hire them. If we proceed with hiring them, then we would tailor their training to either the no experience option or tailoring it to an experienced option, but focus on the areas that they lacked in the competency and get them up to speed there. So I think what it has been a bigger financial piece for us as well, though, to pay people for all of this admin time. But I think what's a positive is that when we turn these RBTs out, they are actually going in for a first session and not embarrassing us, or, you know, doing a good job and having the parents feel more confident. We do still have parents that will grill you about who their RBT is and how many years of experience they have and where they went to school, and, you know, very much like a dating app, they want to know all the details of, you know, all the things, and choose people based on that sometimes. But that's not really, you know, up to them to specifically choose. But we do try our best to find the best fit for what they're looking for, as far as like experience and stuff when we can. But it's kind of a weird thing.
I think it's really hard because, and I learned early on when I started my company, because we did have some of that, Robin, like you said, with the parents, right? They want to grill you about, you know, their background and who is it and how long have they been in ABA. And so there's a couple things too, because when we have techs who leave and we don't have somebody to replace them right away, yes. Like Derek, you probably didn't, you know, you said you didn't have, mm-hmm. you weren't prepared when that happened. And so I get it a lot, and it's hard, because if I have somebody who has to drop down to 3 days a week instead of getting all 5 days a week, and parents, you know, right away are saying, well, when are we going to get another person? When are we going to get another person? And having to explain to them, right? Be slow to hire and quick to fire. Having to explain to them that, like, look, even if I bring someone on, it's going to take them at minimum 30 days probably to finish the training, right? Because if you're not bringing them in and having them sit down in front of a computer or having, you know, your own 40-hour training, it's still going to take them time. You know, some people will get it done quickly, but some people won't, right? Some people really kind of drag their feet. But then also, you don't want them to rush through it, right? You don't want them just to get the training done just to regurgitate on the assessment and get through the competency assessment, right? So you don't want that either. So having to explain that to the parents and like making sure that they understand your approach to hiring really is super important. But a lot of parents don't understand it. What they see, right, is their child's not getting the exact same amount of services, you know, that they were previously. And then also it's hard because even if we do try to rush a little bit and get somebody in there, most of the time it's the parent saying, hey, I don't really care for that technician. So I do remind them, you know, that like, hey, we have to put a lot more time into this. And my approach is just slower and different. And I'd rather take a little bit more time and be a little bit more picky, because like you said, Indeed, most of the recommendations for me, Indeed, are people, you know, CNAs, and nothing against CNAs. It's just a lot of times CNAs come in and it's like, they are there to keep the child safe, their patients safe, their clients safe. They're not necessarily there, right, to do behavioral stuff. So then switching from that CNA to ABA, it's different. It's different. And we don't get to just keep them safe, right? We have to keep them safe and teach them a lot of skill. So yeah, that is really difficult. I can agree with that. And hopefully in the future, some of more of my parents will be a little bit more on board with, you know, understanding that hiring is not, it's not easy.
We had an issue just this week where we had a therapist leave not long ago, and we had, did you try to say something? Are you leaving? Okay, bye.
Oh, I was just going to say that Derek has another engagement to go to. And so he told everyone goodbye, and so he just didn't want to just disappear. So we thank Derek for joining us. Sorry, Robin, I was trying to catch you before I started talking, but I didn't. Go for it. You can continue.
No, I was saying, so we had a thing come up recently where we had a therapist that left. They gave us ample notice. We did line the family up with a new therapist. They completed our training, gone through everything, and then they were lined up to start the following week, and then she emails us and she's like, oh, hey, I'm moving to such and such place, which is 5.5 hours away. She's like, I know sometimes there's clients in this area. So do y'all have anyone over here for me? And I was like, no, I do not. So, and then, you know, the family was livid and they said that we weren't making them a priority and we were, you know, screwing them over. And I, like, this has never happened to me. So, I mean, it's not like I haven't had people like flake out, you know, on their first day, they didn't show up or something, you know, frustrating like that. But this is like, she's literally moving 5.5 hours away, you know, right before she's supposed to start her job with a client. But we tried to have a conversation with the family, like, yes, we were a priority. We did line everything up for you. We trained someone, we had someone with experience, like it was going to be a good fit. Like they've already been training with the, you know, previous staff, but stuff happens, and it just this was a new one for me. I didn't expect that, but you know, it's hard to proactively know all the things that can go wrong at any minute, but it happens.
I think that's hard when parents put that kind of pressure on you, like Mallory. Both, I mean, I've been in both of those situations, yeah. And usually when a parent is like, "Well, do they have to do all this?" and I'm like, I used to bend to that and go, no, you're right. We'll get it in there. And then it always came back. Yeah. It always came back and bit me. And so now if a parent says that to me, I'm like, look, do you want the quality that you expect from us? Like I kind of have started just putting it back on the parent in some ways. Like if you want the same quality that you have come to expect from us, you need to let us do our, this is how we're going to do it. But I've had the same thing. I mean, I can't make good candidates come from thin air.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't stop life from happening. I just can't do that.
Yeah.
And when parents come at me with a, well, you're not making us a priority, I'm like, I'm making you and umpteen other parents a priority right now. That's not what this is about. This is about, this is life, and there's nothing I can do about this. So I'm not really sure what you want me to do. I don't know what the answer is to give you when this is completely outside of my control.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wakes up in the morning going, oh, how can I make a parent feel like they're not the most important thing in my life today? You know, like, oh, I think I'm going to tell them if a therapist just left and sorry. You know, I mean, like, that's just not how we're not in that field. We're not waking up to see how we're going to every morning to do, you know? Yeah. So I feel like some of it is incredibly frustrating, and it kind of kind of makes you feel a little defeated sometimes, especially when you know behind the scenes you've done nothing but be on top of trying to hire a candidate who's going to fit this child perfectly and this family. And there's not, I mean, sometimes you just get so jaded too, and you're just like, you know, I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, I know what's out there, that I'm not immune to this any more than anybody else is. So it's sorry, I'm trying.
It's a piece. Is like a little bit of a nightmare in general too, right? Like it haunts me because we try to control everything, you know, as possible, like to the best of our ability. We try our best to control things. And I think we all get to a place in our career where we realize, right? Like I can't control, you know, Suzanne who just, you know, up and quit. Like I can't control them who up and quit and gave me, you know, a week's notice. I can't control them. I can't control that. And having to like let go of that just for ourselves is a huge step, right? And it's an important one, and it's good for our mental health, right? Like being able to let go of that feeling, because I say too, a lot of people have asked me, like, why do you love roller coasters? I'm like, because it's the only time in my life when I have no control over anything. I have no control when I am strapped into this ride and I can't go anywhere, right? Like, but the rest of my life, right? And business is just that. Like, we try to control every variable, and getting past that is a lot. It's difficult.
Absolutely. It definitely is. And I remember it actually referring back to the roller coaster ride, like through business. I'm like, oh, once we get over this, you know, Like, I don't know what's more terrifying. The hill that you're going up really slow and you're like, what's going to be on the other side? Or the actual, I don't know what's worse. But it's like, once we get to the other part, things will be better. And I think it's so funny because I can, like, remember a conversation I was having with Mallory, I don't know, like, not that long ago. And she was like, really? Because I was like, oh, but it's okay. Once this gets done, like, all good. Like, I was just like, we were just catching up with personal life stuff. And she just gave me that look. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm just lying to myself and everybody here, right? Yeah, and that's what it is, like, that part of that, like, not, you know, the control and the, and that's really why the taking care of yourself and being, you know, learning how to, you know, be intentional and live in the moment and in trying to find joy and enjoying your life and where you're at, even through the suck, right? Like, even because, like, we can always, it's easy for us to, like, look for, oh, once this happens, this thing's going to be good and then life will be great, right? And so, but that's not how we enjoy life. We enjoy life by, like, just each moment, right? And so, yeah, it's an ongoing journey for all of us, right? Yeah. Whether you're a business leader or not, right? It's just part of life is that growth. Well, I feel like we are at the end of our time today. Huh? And thank you all for listening and watching and, like, you know, giving us our moment of joy, like, just, you know, doing goofy, you know, having fun on Halloween and being goofy and silly. And, you know, would like to thank our witch for joining us today. But yeah, so I don't know. Do you want to do a little shameless plug here?
Sure, or? You can.
So it's really exciting that you guys are talking about training and how important training is to the quality, because ABA Business Leaders is launching a new training platform, and that's really going into 2025. ABA Business Leaders brought to you by 3Pi Squared. Mm-hmm. 3Pi Squared is still here. Yeah. We're just shifting the name a little bit. It's all about quality, right? And so how can we help business owners, business leaders, how can we help, like, in small companies or larger companies, everybody out there, like, how can we help, you know, contribute to the quality of training? And so, yes, I 100% agree with Derek earlier that it's super important for each company to do that training specific to how they do things. And you can do that within our training platform.
Yep.
And you can track skills and you can decide how to give raises if you want to do that.
Based on skill acquisition.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really exciting. So
and it's not just for techs. It's for BCBAs and admin staff. Comment that we get quite often is, I guess I'm the clinical director, but I have no idea what I need to do. Right.
Right. From non-owners. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So I think this air, like, we're live for those of you who are listening now, but then we also, I think we'll be probably dropping this podcast after the launch. Yeah. So the big changeover happens on November 11th at 11:11:11. And so when you go to the ababbusinessleaders.com, you'll see the little ticker thing. And if you sign up
before,
if those of you who are here, you get the special.
Yes, it's free for 6 months.
It's free for 6 months if you sign up before November 11th. But if you're hearing this after the fact, come check us out. There's a lot of free content on there as well. And there's videos that show, like, how to use it and little sneak peeks and stuff like that.
Good job there, sales lady.
Thank you so much. I try my best. Anyways, Mallory, Jennifer, Robin, Derek, thank you guys so much for being here today. And we look forward to our next panel.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.